I think I totally concur with Barbara when she said that, you know, the families, particularly Christian families, are being assaulted. And, you know, sitting here are many families, and you know what we mean. You know the assault that the world is going. So we really need to pray. We need to believe that God can do great and awesome things when we pray. Protecting your children. I know sometimes we want to protect them in many ways. Sometimes we want to keep them away from the public schools. We were in New York, and public school was just not an option, not an option. We did everything we can to get them away from that. But even beyond just taking them away from an environment that's unhealthy, it's also just knowing that God can do great things when we pray for them. So pray for them every single day. When you drive them to school, if you do that, just pray for them before you drop them off. When you pick them up, pray for them. During lunchtime, pray for them. All the kinds of things that are happening, we need to pray. As praying people and as praying church, you know, God will change things, and we believe that. Join me in prayer as we look to the Lord, as before we look into the Word of God. Father, we come before you today. We thank you. We thank you that we have the privilege to be able to dedicate our children to you, to know that you are here, you're listening, and as we do so, you do things in their lives. You anoint them, you bless them, you take them. You allow us, Lord, to make that choice, and we do. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts now as we look into your word. Father, would you speak in ways that only you can, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think as you have been following along in Romans, you know that we are going through a passage that is supernaturally impossible to live. Only supernaturally can we live it. Without the divine power, we cannot do it. Now, as we finish Romans chapter 12, it is a whole chapter on Christian ethics, and it will continue in chapters 13 and 14 and into 15 as well. But let me remind you of this, that it cannot be lived. We cannot do these things unless we have done the first thing first. Even as a believer, all right, we have to give our lives to Jesus Christ. But even as believers, we have to surrender to God first. We have to surrender our lives to God. If we don't surrender our lives on the altar of the living God, these activities and Christian ethics and actions cannot be done. It just cannot be done. Because no person can live like this without the divine power. And so as we go into verse 17, we are talking about overcoming evil. And overcoming evil is not something that you can do without the power of the Holy Spirit. So join with me as we look at it. And the title I gave, very brief title, is just do not be overcome, right, by evil. Do not be overcome by evil. Just overcoming evil instead. First of all, we see the first verse here, verse 17. Let me read that for you. This is important. We need to beware of the power of evil. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. In this life, there are a lot of people who will do evil. This, you know who they are. It's not hard to find. Sometimes they're just our acquaintances. We might know them at work. Or maybe we just meet them on the street. Sometimes they're part of our family. Sometimes they're part of our church. Sometimes they're part of our friends. And evil is something that they may do all the time. Evil is bringing something into your life to hurt you. They'll hurt you. Perhaps physically they'll hurt you. Perhaps through words they'll hurt you. Perhaps through slander they'll hurt you. There's all kinds of ways to bring evil into your life. And so as a person that experienced evil, every one of us has experienced evil, and evil comes from somebody. Now, the enemy ultimately is the one doing it, but he's using people to bring evil to you. So the Apostle Paul is talking about this, and he's letting them know, listen, guys, I know you face evil, maybe every day. And there are people there that would hurt you. Last week we talked about those who will persecute you, someone who actively pursues harm upon your life. That's a persecutor. Someone that's going to bring pain into your life, into your family, into your relationships. That's a persecutor, someone that will bring evil to your life. But Paul is not saying, And the Lord is through him. And it's not saying that that's not going to happen. You can't prevent evil from being a part of your experience, your personal experience, your daily experience. You can't prevent that from happening. But what you can do is do not respond, do not repay evil with evil. Now, what does that mean? The phrase here, do not repay, is actually, when you read it in the Greek and you analyze it, it literally means you have to plan it out. You have to plan it out. And you know why? Because when someone does evil to you, it's a very emotional thing. Someone does something to you right there, and you respond right away because we're emotional people. You know, someone's cuts you off in a lane and driving, you just respond sometimes. Someone hits your car, maybe. You go out there and you yell at them. These are things that are very, very, you know, just emotionally responsive. And normal people do that. You don't even have to be a bad person to do it. If someone hits you, you naturally just respond by swinging back. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, but you've done evil to someone who did evil to you. This is just what we do naturally. But you see, God's people don't do natural things. They shouldn't do natural things. That's the whole point of what we're talking about here. Chapter 12 is talking about God's people whose lives have been already surrendered on the altar before the Almighty God. And so we don't do these things. I know, you know, sometimes if our young children comes home, a teenager or something, and they get bullied, sometimes you say, just stand up to them, you know, give it back to them. It almost sounds like something you're teaching your children to do so they can stand up for themselves. It sounds good. But as God's people, this is not the response. The response is not to repay anyone evil for evil, because if you did that, then the evil not only comes and hurts you, but it also comes and takes you. That's not what you want. You experience the evil already. You experience the pains. You might have scars from evil that are caused by others on your life, maybe for a long, long time. But when you embrace the evil and say, I'm going to get them back, you have not only been suffering and affected by evil and pain caused upon you, but now you have been absorbed by evil and you're going to give it back. So the phrase here is, do not repay. Plan on it. So in other words, we have to think it through a little bit. If someone comes and attacks me physically, how would I respond? I have to plan it. If you plan it ahead of time, then you can control it, because it is not going to be responsive in an emotional way. It is going to be planned out, and by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to be restrained. You will have patience. If someone's going to say this about me, how would I respond? If someone's going to slander me, how am I going to respond? If someone's going to lie about me, how would I respond? If someone wants to hurt me in this way, how would I respond? So you have to plan that out. Do not repay. In other words, plan it out. Plan it out so that you will not be absorbed. You will not be taken in by evil. Because it's bad enough that you're hurt by evil. You know, it may be a bruise, maybe, you know, getting beat up, maybe it's a reputation that has gone awry, maybe you lost a job, maybe you did this and that, whatever it is, maybe it's like that. But now, if you allow that evil to take you, and then you say, I'm going to respond back, I'm going to hurt them back, I'm going to give it to them, I'm going to give as good as I'm going to take. Well, what you have done is you have allowed evil to overwhelm you. Verse 21, I want to jump down there. It says, do not be overcome by evil. Don't let evil overcome you, but overcome evil with good. This is what we do. This is what we do. As God's people, we give good to people. And it doesn't say to give it to whom. It doesn't say to give it to just the good people. No, we give good to people who do evil to us. Isn't that amazing? It is hard. It is impossible. I want to tell you, you cannot do this unless your life has been surrendered on the altar of God. It is not possible. One of the stories that you guys have heard before, and that is Jim Elliot with the Alca Indians in Ecuador. You know what happened there. When he was killed and martyred along with others, you know, that tribe should have been hated, right? Hated by those who were close to Jim Elliot and others. The family members, the children, and so on and so forth. But instead, the people did not allow evil to overcome them. In fact, they went back, and you know the legacy of Elizabeth Elliot and the wives there. They went back there. They kept ministering and ministering and ministering, so much so that the whole tribe gave their lives to Jesus Christ. You can read about this. This story is awesome. This is what happens when you don't allow evil to overwhelm you. But you see, we are just natural people. And when we are natural people, we will. If someone swings at us, we will swing back. If someone hurts us, we will hurt back. That's what we do. But not if the Spirit of God is in your life. If not if the Spirit of God has filled your life. If not if the Spirit of God is controlling your life, you will not let that happen. It goes on a little bit in that verse 7. It says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. I want you to know something. If you're a Christian, you declare yourself to be a Christian, and you know that in work and maybe in the school and places like that, you know that the fact that you say you're a Christian, next thing you know, a whole bunch of eyes are looking at you. And sometimes they would even set you up. They would test you. They would say things to you. They would do things to you just to see how you will respond. How you respond. Are you a real big hypocrite like they think you are already? Just the fact that you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, immediately the word hypocrisy already goes into the top of the list about you. You see, people are watching, and so they want to know how you respond. Because they don't know a whole lot about scriptures. They heard about if someone hit you, and on one cheek, you got to give the other cheek. Things like that. They just hear about these little things. They're going to test you. And so it's really important as God's people that we be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Doesn't mean you can. Doesn't mean everyone's going to think you're right. In fact, the more right you are, the more wrong they think you are. They want to pretend that to say it to you. That's what they do. But nevertheless, you do it. And in verse 18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with each other. And that's what we need to do. We need to not only beware of the power of evil, but we need to live in peace with each other. That's not easy to do. It is really hard to do back in those days. You got to understand, in Rome, you're talking about 3 slaves to every free man. You're talking about people from all over the world. You're talking about black folks, white folks, European folks, rich folks, poor folks, all over the place. They're coming here. Rome was a metropolis just like Houston is, just like New York is, just like Los Angeles is. And so there are people with all kinds of things. And back in those days, there was no political correctness at all. If you're a Roman citizen, you can do anything you want. In fact, if you're a Roman citizen, you can walk down the street and make someone else carry your bags for a little while. That's the law. There's no such thing as, you know, hey, that's racist, or that is this and that. So people there were not at peace with each other. They didn't like each other. Nobody wanted to be conquered by one another, you know, by someone else. They didn't like that. But nevertheless, Paul tells them, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you, of course, he adds that. And that's so true, right? Because you can't have peace all by yourself. It's not something that you just do. It takes two. And sometimes people just don't want to be at peace with you. But that means this. How do you live at peace when someone else doesn't want to have peace with you? It means this, that you don't throw out conflict. You don't throw out things that cause conflict. You don't cause it. That doesn't mean that you have to become exactly what the other person wants you to be. You can't do that. Because as a Christian, we have standards. We have morality. There are things that we cannot give in. We don't compromise our faith. We don't say, okay, all right, you don't have to believe in Jesus. That kind. We don't say things like that. We have to stand our ground. And when we do stand our ground biblically, we are going to have conflicts. There will be no peace. That's why the Apostle Paul lost his head. That's why Andrew was crucified on a cross, on an X cross, you know that. That's why, you know, the Apostle Peter was also crucified upside down. These are all reasons why, because they were not at peace with everybody because they refused, of course, to compromise their faith in Jesus Christ. But short of those things, oh, they were at peace with people. They didn't go around hurting people. They didn't go around bringing conflicts into life. This is what the Apostle Paul tells us to do here in verse 18. Now we get to this part that's really interesting. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean? You see, you need to know this. According to the Word of God, every single action that we take will have consequence. There is something to everything. God is not mocked. A man will reap what he sows. So everything that we do, whether a word or whether an action, God is taking account. And when we hurt somebody, there will be consequences. And when we are hurt, there are consequences. But interesting that the Apostle Paul tells us that it is not for us to give the consequence. You got that? It is not for us to avenge anything. It is not for us to give back what someone deserves. It is not. You say, wait a minute, doesn't the scriptures talk about something about an eye for an eye and on, all those things? No, no. The scripture is talking about in different ways, not to those personally who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. It is talking about the countries. It is talking about nations. You know, nations are supposed to defend their borders. They're supposed to do those things. That's national things. This is God working out on that. But when it comes to us as God's people, we are not to ever give vengeance back. We are never to give back. It is not us. We are not the judge. We do not give judgment to people. Do not take revenge. It says here clear. So if someone said, I can't, but I have to. He did such terrible things to me. He hurt my family so much. I have to give that back. It's not fair. He can't get away with this. And God speaks to our heart and says, no. We're to forgive. But it says here, it is not for us to revenge. Ever to revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. You say, wait a minute. What does that mean? Somewhere along the line, we need to understand something. When he says, and this is from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 35, he says, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I want to tell you, the first time I read this, and many times I read it as I'm studying for this passage today, it scares me when I read that. It is mine to avenge. I mean, do you want to hear that? Do you want to be at the end of that avenging? I mean, there's nothing that you and I can ever do to anyone that is more devastating and scary than what God just said there. I mean, if someone has done something that deserves vengeance, I would hope that person will seek forgiveness from the Almighty God, because you do not want to be at the end of this promise. This is a promise. It is mine to avenge. I will repay. And God says, I will do that. It is not going to ever be let go. Whether in eternity or sometime in this life, it is going to happen. So what does that say to us? It says this. We are never to be the judge of someone else for vengeance. Never, 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 never. You know, you say at work something's happening. Oh, that's just so unfair. I got to do something about it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Someone hurts you personally. You know what? Don't go after them. Don't hit them back. Don't do anything like that. If someone even hurts your family and people there, pray for them. Don't hurt them back. Don't judge them. Don't avenge them. Do not do that, because the Lord says, it is mine to avenge, says the Lord. In fact, he goes further. Verse 20. Took a little while to study this one. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. You know, naturally, that's the last thing we want to do. If something bad happens to our enemy, what do we say? Too bad for them. Knew they'd get it back. Someone's over there, you don't want to go help them, you know. Just let it be. Don't go there. That's natural. That's what we do. He deserves it, you know. They deserve what they're getting. Not for God's people. Not if you surrender your life on the altar of God. It is the opposite. We want to feed our hungry enemy. We want to give water to our thirsty enemy. That's what we do, okay. Say, that's just it's not natural at all. It's nothing natural about this. This is by the power of the living God in him alone. Someone that curses you, you go and you bless them. Someone that hurts you, you go and you say, God bless you. You know, someone that's hungry but they hate you, you feed them. This is what you do. This is what God's people do. And it says interesting here, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. What does that mean? You know, you put burning coals on someone's head, you set the guy's head on fire, right? The guy's blowing up. Is that what it means? That's not what it means. You know that. See, when you do this, when you begin to really love your enemy, this is called loving your enemy. This is loving not with words now. You're loving with actions. This is agape love. You're taking food and giving your hungry enemy food. You're giving water, giving your thirsty enemy water. This is love in action, okay? This is what you're doing. You're loving your enemy. When you do that, what are you doing? You're doing something to him. And you don't mean to do that for him. That's not the purpose of it. You're really just loving on him. But this is what happened. Well, in the old days, if you scroll or Google, you can find it. There is one particular tradition that you can find in the old, in way back in the Old Testament and in ancient time. It is in Egypt. The Egyptians would do this. When somebody did something terrible and he's judged for it, one of the things that he has to do to compensate or be, you know, punished for it in that sense is he would have to walk out in the open in front of people. This is weird. And there would be a bow on his head. And there will be burning coals on his head. That's what he's referring to. And he'll have to walk. And as he walks it, okay, there's shame involved there. So he's shamed, you know, he's shamed. Everyone's saying, oh, man, shame on him. That's one way that he has to repent of his crimes against whatever. And that's kind of what it is. So in this way, in a sense, what it is by doing this, by feeding your enemy, by giving water to your enemy, by caring for your enemy, by doing things that the opposite of vengeance, what you're doing is bringing shame to his life. Now, you don't do that for the sake, but as a result, perhaps the person is saying, wait a minute, I did these things to these people. Why are they doing this to me? Why are they being so nice to me? You know, there's a possibility that perhaps it'll bring this person to repentance. Maybe you have experienced like that before, where God's people, you, have experienced something, and instead of responding in a negative way, responding with evil for evil, you did something different. And you know what? You might have won that person to Jesus Christ. You don't know. This is the kind of things that God wants us to be. They do. You see, what happens is most often, evil is so powerful. Not only does it hurt you and hurt you and hurt you some more, it comes and absorbs you, begins to take over your life. There are people that really live with a lot of evil in their lives because they've been taken over, because they have a lot of reasons. Look what happened to me when I was young. Look what they did to me. I remember this young man. I met up with him, and I was talking to him. And I noticed that next to him, he had a bow and arrow. So what's that for? He's kind of fudged a little bit, and he's holding it, and he's kind of, it scared me a little bit, because it's a hunting bow and arrow, but that's not what he's thinking about. See, there was a man that was constantly on his case, bullying him constantly, bullying. And this is a man that, this is a person that, you know, was easy to bully, just the way he was. He wasn't very strong, he wasn't very great in this and that, and he was on time. And it came to his mind that I have a bow, an arrow. And it took a bit to talk him out of it, and he said, you really don't want to do anything like that. But you see, what happens is evil can come. We're hurt, and we're hurt some more. And then more than that, evil comes and absorbs us. And when that happens, we become that which we hate. We become that which we don't want to be. And you say, can that happen to Christians? Yeah, it can. Unless we have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, when we place our system, our essence, on the altar of the Almighty God, say, Lord, anything. It's not a commitment I'm making to you, it's a surrender. Anything you want in my life, I'm willing to. When we do that, let me tell you, God changes us. We begin to live out those things that Romans 12 talks about. Remember, it begins with loving without hypocrisy. We are able to love sincerely. We hate evil, but we cling on to good. You remember that? We're able to treat people well, even when they don't deserve it. We're able to live out the lives that are unnatural. Even when they persecute us, we won't respond. We can live that way. Why? Because God has given us the power. And you know what? A church that does that, a people that does that, a person that does that, a family that does that, you are going to draw people to the Lord. They're going to look at you and they say, what is so strange about this person? Why is this family so magnetizing? And they'll look and they'll find Jesus. And you draw them to the cross. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. To know that you have a great and awesome life for us. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you would allow each one of us to be people that would live out this part of life. that when people hurt us, Lord God, oh Lord, would you help us to bless them? Oh Lord God, help us never to allow evil to take us. Oh Lord. Father, help us never to want revenge or vengeance at all. Lord God, I pray that you would just minister in our lives in such a way that we will be people that will exemplify all that you are, remembering how you suffered, how you let people hurt you, and yet you still love us. Oh God, I pray that you will help us to be a church like that, to be a family like that, to be a person just like that. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.